So again, I want to thank everybody. I mean, that last membership drive last week was a lot of fun, and yeah, I want to thank everybody. And it was a lot of new people giving money for the first time that supported the show. And so I really want to thank everybody who took time out to help us, you know, meet our goal. And I want to thank everybody who continued to give to the station. WMNF is a not-for-profit station, and the pledge process will be on and popping for the next week or so. So if you haven't given, you can still give. You can go to WMNF.org. Or you could just call the station during regular business hours. All right, I want to thank you all. See you next week.
Thanks.
WMNF 88.5 Tampa.
Nobody does it better. Come closer than close. Yeah.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. Iran's foreign minister is urging Europe to do more to preserve the landmark nuclear deal reached in 2015. Javad Zarif spoke at the Munich Security Conference. Terry Schultz reports that his remarks come a day after Vice President Pence urged Europe to join the U.S. in withdrawing.
Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif says he can't guess how much longer the nuclear deal can stay alive, with U.S. pressure on European signatories Britain, France, and Germany to follow it in withdrawing. At the moment, Zarif tells the Munich Security Conference, most Iranians believe it's in their interest to maintain the agreement with Europe, China, and Russia that limits Tehran's nuclear activities in exchange for economic benefits.
We are just at the brink. I mean, still 51% say we should stay in the deal. That may change.
Vice President Mike Pence called on European allies again Saturday to quit, accusing them of undermining U.S. sanctions by maintaining the trade ties allowed by the nuclear deal. The European Union says it will do everything possible to preserve it. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Munich.
President Trump is urging Britain, France, and other European allies to take back the hundreds of Islamic State fighters and put them on trial. If not, he says, the U.S. would be forced to release them. The BBC's Mark Lowen reports.
The president took to Twitter to say the caliphate was ready to fall and that America was pulling back after a 100% caliphate victory, but shifted the focus to more than 800 IS fighters whom he urged Western allies to take back. The jihadists are held by Kurdish-led forces, some surrendering in the battle for the last patch of land, where IS appear to be holding civilians as human shields.
The BBC's Mark Lowen. Lawsuits are being prepared and lawmakers are challenging the constitutionality of President Trump's declaration of a national emergency along the southern border. The declaration would create direct presidential access to some pots of federal funding for a border wall. NPR's Greg Myrie tells us that could mean cuts in some other programs.
And the biggest one would be military construction. He wants to take about $3.6 billion away from that. Now, we don't know what projects those would be, but that means somebody is going to lose a project and money they've been promised. If it comes mostly out of the Army, they're going to be upset. If it comes out of certain districts where congressmen have already boasted about this, they're going to be upset. So you're going to see a lot of pushback and anger on the political level from people who lose money.
The budget bill signed Friday provides nearly $1.4 billion for fencing, while the president wants to spend several times that. On Fox News Sunday this morning, top White House advisor Stephen Miller said that President Trump is ready to execute the first veto of his term if Congress votes to disapprove his declaration of a national emergency along the border. This is NPR. Heather Nauert has withdrawn her name from consideration after having been tapped by President Trump to succeed Nikki Haley as U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. Nauert says that the past couple of months had been grueling for her family. Before joining the State Department as a spokeswoman 2 years ago, Nauert was a Fox News Channel reporter. The State Department says there will be a new candidate soon. In the Middle East, riots have erupted in Jordan after a confrontation at a police checkpoint. NPR's Jane Arraf has more from Amman.
A police spokesman says the riots broke out in the north of Jordan after police arrested two men who failed to provide identification when they were pulled over. Relatives of those arrested blocked roads near Ajloun and, police say, threw rocks at passing vehicles, while gunmen fired at police from a nearby forest. A security spokesman tells state media that a civilian died of gunshot wounds, while a second was injured in the clashes. Four policemen were also injured. Also in Jordan, authorities say that explosions last week northwest of Amman were found to be linked to a militant cell. The buried explosives near the city of Salt killed a farmer and three security force members. Officials had originally said they were old landmines. Jane Araf, NPR News, Amman.
American Catholics head to Mass this weekend amid news that former Cardinal Theodore McCarrick had been defrocked for sexual misconduct. Cardinal Sean O'Malley of Boston is telling his archdiocese this was an important step for administering justice. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, working alongside others to build a culture of health that provides everyone in America a fair and just opportunity for health and well-being. More at rwjf.org.
Find the shadows cast by rainbow. There you'll meet the sage. Feeding rabbits bits of lettuce or cleaning out the cage. He can give you direction than you've ever known. Show you your bronze baby shoes now. My, how you have grown. Ain't it nice to fly? You're waving as soft clouds go by, but peace won't be still of its own free will. Say you want to go exploring, you got to find some truth. You can't spend one more day Christians shouting down at you. You say you don't dig politics, that never was your bag. People who could run for office wave their private flag. Ain't it nice to fly? You're waving as all clouds go by, but peace won't be still of its own.
There we go. There we go. All right. Good morning. Good morning. Again, this is Kaya Wright in the Fourth Estate. You probably heard an echo before, okay? But now you hear me clearly, all right? So this is February the 17th, 2019, and we have a wonderful show lined up for you today. Now, as always, I say hello to the Fourth Estate when we get started. So hello, Alvaro. How you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning. And Yumiko, who joined us last week. Good to see you back, Yumiko.
Yes, good to be back. Good morning.
Yes, yes. Our very own professional live read person. Okay, that's going to be your designation. Great voice when she's doing her live readings. And we have Lo, who's getting our Facebook Live set up. So we're going to get you. We're missing a piece of equipment on that, but we are going to get squared away. And then I'll say hello to you guys. But Facebook Live, when we do get set up, then of course we're going to need you to share and like and everything like that, as always. All right. So last week was our pledge drive, and that was such a great time. I want to thank you all once again for your great pledges. We just smashed it. We were at about 2,000 of our 3,000 goal at the end. We are now at about 2,500, Alvaro. So we are doing
wonderful.
Really well. We are very close.
Wonderful support.
Yes, yes. And there are a bunch of people who I want to thank for their donations. And again, you know, you guys make this work. You guys, that was our thank you show last week. And I want to continue that a little bit, even though not my president, in honor of President's Day, is going to be our theme for this week. But I did want to take a little time out to shout out some people who continue to give. And again, it's not too late. And I'll get into that a little bit later, but it's not too late to make a donation to help us get to help us get to our goal. You know, I'm very goal-oriented, and I don't like when to fall short. So if you're in the circle of friends, I didn't talk about a lot last week, but that's kind of like being a patron, like being on Patreon, right? So if you're already at $5 a month, it could be, you know, as small as that. You can bump it up to 10, and that's $5 more. That's a $60 pledge, right? And it's spread out over 12 months. Yeah, so someone bumped up last time $10 over a course of a year. That's $120 right there. So there are a lot of ways you can make it. It could be $5. It could be $20. You know, we'll take anything, and we appreciate one. You can still come down to the station and get on the mic too, you know, because I love to hear from you guys. So I want to thank you. But I also want to thank a couple of folks. One, I want to thank Rosie Romlakon. Okay, I talked about her a little bit last week, but she was like, her daughter gave, and then she was saying, you know, her husband and I are friends, and you know, I'm friends with the whole family. I love the whole family, but I wanted to give a special shout out to Rosie. Okay, she's like, you were talking about Rajesh. Yes, yes, I'm talking about both of y'all now. All right, so thank you very much for your donation. Tanya Hammond of Hammond and Associates Realty, want to thank you for your donation. Awesome, awesome. And I'm gonna get to the song I'm gonna be playing when it comes to you guys and you guys being superstars. And I just have something I want to say on that. So we had a donation on last week, and it was at the end. So I read it actually on the next show, and the comment was to play the second part of Superstar by Chaos. So the Superstar clip that we were using before, he has actually three Superstar clips. So the one I was playing was that one. It was actually part zero. There's a part one and there's a part two. So I was playing part zero. So one of the comments on one of the pledges we got said, you know, can you play the other parts of the song? So I'm going to do that after I finish going through all these pledges. So I remember who that was, but I hear you, and we try to do what you like. I mean, to some degree, right? You know, you know what happens when you call in talking nonsense, but yeah, we're always gonna have fun. So I wanted to thank whoever that was. I'm gonna play that for you here in a second. So, and I also wanted one correction to another donor, Harubasi.com. I think I said Harubasi, but it's Harubasi.com from Latricia. So I also wanted to thank you. We also have the Sankofa Committee, which is going to be talking today. We have a couple of announcements we're going to go through. As always, we do our announcements at the beginning here on WMNF 88.5. And Sankofa Committee donated $20 to the Sunday Forum. So I want to thank you all for that. Comments, awesome and informative. Love the topics and current events from a black perspective, absolutely. And you know, think about it, and I'm not sure if we got any donations last week from people who make announcements, but like I said before, it's usually hundreds of dollars if you're on a commercial radio station anyway to make an announcement. All right, so you know, just think about all that we make sure we inform you what's going on in the community. But when we have our drive, you know, help us out. So you know, that's always a good thing. You know, that wasn't related to this. It was just about, you know, trying to support the station, because Carol tells me she listens to the station all the time. But that just reminds me as we go through this. You know, please be sure and support this station. And I want to say, I talked about going on and announcing our event last week. I went on In Touch. I didn't put the name of the station. In Touch Radio is who I went on with, Dale Green. So I want to thank them for having us on to discuss our event. So that was awesome. I vaguely mentioned it, and I was like, you know what? I should say who it is. So I want to thank you all. So for all of you who are out there, I want to say, here's the clip that I have for you. You're still superstars, okay? But this is a different rendition of Superstar.
How did you get so low? So low, when you know you're a superstar. If there's pain, then just let it go. Let it go. Don't forget that you know who you are.
Okay, all right. So I hope you guys heard that. You guys are a superstar, all right? So thank you very much once again for your donations, for your donations. All right, so we got that housekeeping out of the way, and we are going to be talking about, again, not my president, okay? Not my president. And this is in reference to not the current occupant of the White House, 45, okay, because he is the president, but previous presidents in honor of President's Day who were not our presidents, okay? They were not the president for black people. They were the president for white people and white people alone, okay? And as much as they want to, these people are venerated. And there was a rhetorical question, if you remember, 45 asked after the Charlottesville debacle, when people wanted to, of course, take down the Robert E. Lee statue and other Confederate statues. He's like, well, are we going to take down George Washington and Thomas Jefferson? Yeah. Okay. And we're going to get into why. Okay. I'm going to make the case. Okay. The prosecutor that I am. Okay. So we will get to that. But first, Alvaro mentioned last week an Arab American festival that is going to be going on, and I believe it's today, and we have in the studio Dina Solomon, who's going to tell us about that. So welcome to the Sunday Forum. Dina, how are you?
Thank you.
Good. All right, so tell us about this festival that you have going on.
So today we are having a Arab festival to bring the communities together through food, culture, music, family fun, and entertainment, hip-hop, performers, dancers, Arab dancers, Arab music, just a lot of fun for the whole family and to get to know the Arab community and put everybody together.
Okay, and what time is it?
It actually starts now. Well, it started at 11.
Okay.
And it's until 7 p.m.
Okay.
And it's at the Tampa Waterworks Park on 1710 North Highlands Avenue, Tampa, Florida.
Okay.
Right next to the armature.
Yes, Armature Works.
Armature Works.
Yeah, beautiful park.
And you noted last week that it was safe, right?
Yes, very nice.
Yeah, so we were teasing Alvaro a little bit last week about that. So, yes.
Because I mentioned the river. The river looks beautiful. the atmosphere is very nice.
Yeah. That's where we were handing out those flyers, right?
Yes.
Right. So very, very nice. Okay, so that's today from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. And where can people go for more information if they missed anything or anything like that? Is there a website or?
Yes. Well, our office, this is the Tampa chapter. We just started our Tampa chapter, and okay. Our office is located at 13355 North 56th Street, Tampa, Florida. And the phone number, if anybody needs to call us, is 407-985-4550. And we offer services, resources. If anybody needs to come in and find out where they need to go for employment services, youth empowerment, women's empowerment, different things that we need to bring the community together, that we're available for resources and services.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for coming in and telling us about that event, and good luck.
Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. And then next we have in the studio for an announcement, we have Amisha Hill, and we have Mr. C and Carol Brown is back there for moral support, and they are going to be talking about an event that they're having at the Sankofa Committee. So if you can tell us a bit about what is Sankofa.
Sankofa is a concept from West Africa, specifically Ghana, and literally translated, it means it's not taboo to go back and fetch what you forgot. Sankofa teaches us that we must go back to our roots in order to move forward. That is, we should reach back and gather the best of what our past has to teach us so that we can achieve our full potential as we move forward. Whatever we have lost, forgotten, foregone, or been stripped of can be reclaimed, revived, preserved, and perpetuated. Visually and symbolically, Sankofa is expressed as a mythic bird that flies forward while looking backward with an egg, which symbolizes the future in its mouth.
Okay, awesome. And what event is it that you all are having?
This is going to be for the Black History Month celebration, Sankofa, and it's going to be on Saturday, February the 23rd, between 1 and 4, and it's going to be at the Robert W. Saunders Public Library, and that address is going to be 1505 Nebraska Avenue in Tampa, Florida. That zip code is 33602. And then you can also find it on the Hillsboro Library. That website is www.hcplc.org, where you can find out more information about Sankofa program.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that event. And again, good luck. It sounds like an awesome, awesome event.
It's a very nice library, and the room there is large and very nice also.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you guys very much. Really, really appreciate you guys coming in and telling the community about community events are going on. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. All right. So, yes, you are listening to WMNF 88.5 with Kaya Wright and the Fourth Estate. And in honor of President's Day, we are going to be discussing Not My President. Not My President. But as always, we want to start off with current events. And oh my, there have been so many. I mean, I actually had to cut events. And Yumiko said to me this morning, she's like, wow, we're going to have a lot of events. I'm like, listen, that's a cut, okay, from what I actually had. So there's so much. One other thing, I want to go back to the pledges. I forgot. I want to give a shout out to those who are incarcerated who are listening to us. And I know a lot of you guys contact us. Take care, you guys. A lot of you guys contact us, and I want you to know, again, like I did before, we hear you, appreciate. I know you can't call in and everything. And if you want to donate or have your family donate, you know, please feel free to do so. WMNF.org. You can put into your browser Sunday Forum Tampa to get right to our site. I had a friend of mine said they went to like the wrong place. If you go right to our site, hit tip jar, it'll take you to the page where you put all your information in. Sunday Forum is already highlighted. You're good to go. Okay. So I wanted to shout you guys out. But current events. Oh my goodness, so much craziness going on today, this past week, all right? So let's start off with Virginia. This Black History Month, I saw somewhere on social media before I was again permanently suspended from Twitter. I saw somebody said, hey, we need to do Black History Month over. Like, we need to do it in July or something, because this month has been crazy. There's been some overtly crazy racist incident, like, every single day. But that's actually America, right? That's actually America.
That is true.
That's just America. It's just the way it is. So there was a discussion. There's been a lot of discussion, obviously, over the past week about Virginia, the leadership, and Northam, of course, of It Wasn't Me fame, right, decides that he's going to go on a media tour. And he starts off by calling our enslaved ancestors indentured servants, okay? No, okay, they were not indentured servants, okay? They were slaves. There were some people who may have been indentured servants, but the people that we are commemorating in 1619 coming over, when and even though that date is actually a little bit disputed, but 1619 is usually what we use, they were enslaved. So he was destroyed for that, you know, as he should have been, okay, because that's just utter and complete nonsense. And you also had, with regards to him and what he's talking about, you guys know how I am about, you know, using people of color when you're actually talking about Black people, right? So there was actually a very, very good clip that I'm going to play. And this is CNN commentator Nina Turner. She's on there with Mia Love, Jake Tapper. She's on CNN. She's with a congresswoman named Nanette, I forget what her last name, Diaz, Nanette Diaz. She's on the Homeland Security Committee in the House. And so they were having a good discussion about Northam and the whole blackface situation. And I want to play this clip because it captures a lot of key issues that I want to talk about here. But this is a really powerful clip from this week.
This is not just about people of color. I want folks to understand this. This is anti-blackness. So let's make this clear. This is anti-blackness, blackface in the mid to late 19th century, 1800s, was about mocking Black people, our humanity, our beauty, our culture, what we mean to this country. So this ain't a conversation about people of color. This is a conversation about anti-Black racism, white supremacy in the United States of America.
Okay. Okay, so I it was very important for her to make that point because the I think it was Mia Love who was speaking before that particular former congresswoman, and she mentioned something about people of color. She's black, and it was important for Nina to make that point. It's not called people of color face, okay? It's called blackface. And it's called that for those reasons mentioned. I was saying while I was playing that Yumiko, you had mentioned that very,
right,
that very point mm-hmm. last week.
Yeah, that excuse me, that I get tired of when they show the black face, that it's dark and red lips, which not all black people have big red lips. You know what I mean?
Right.
I just don't. I don't like that representation. I don't like what is showing that we're ugly or that there's something wrong with people who are dark and who have big red lips.
Right.
You know?
So. Right. Exactly. So it's a specific caricature mm-hmm. that, and that's what it comes out of. Yes, people also mock other groups, but when it comes to this in particular that we're talking about right now,
yeah.
You know, this is what we're talking about. And on that note, the conversation continued, and the other congresswoman, Nanette Diaz, tried to go in this other direction with this whole issue.
I mean, look at the race issue in today's day and age with the president at the helm, who has been one of the most divisive presidents, and frankly, racist himself, is a conversation we do need to have. But looking at just the line of order and saying, no, we're not going to do that because of the consequences, it's not the right way to do this. And so for me, I do think we need to have this conversation, and we should continue to have this conversation, but it has to be front and center. And we can't forget about the person who is dividing us and who himself is injecting this into the country to live up again and coming out again. And we haven't seen it be this bad in recent time till the president has really made this a race issue, whether it's about African-Americans, certainly he's doing it all over the board with immigrants, but we need to have this conversation.
I cannot. Well, I just can't. 1984, 1980,
right.
Gucci just a few days ago. This is not about President Donald Trump. This is about racism in the United States of America. Congresswoman, I hear you, but on this, we're not blaming President Trump.
He has divided this country. Let me just say this. He is using race as an issue.
I am not going to continue to let politicians use this man as the excuse to deal with racism in this country. It's been going on for far too long in the United States of America. We need some real truth and reconciliation. Yes, President Donald Trump is a racist. There is no doubt about it. But as we have seen, Democrats delve in racism as well. We got to stop making this about who's a Republican, who's a Democrat.
Right.
I want to know who's a humanitarian.
That's right.
I want to know who's going to stand up for people's lives, starting with black lives, because when you take care of black lives, everybody's life is taken care of. Everyone's life is taken care of. So no more about these three men. It had nothing to do with President Trump. What Lieutenant Governor Fairfax is going through don't have nothing to do with President Trump. Northam wearing blackface don't have nothing to do with Donald Trump. Harrington wearing blackface has nothing to do with Donald Trump. This is about racism in the DNA of this country, and I am over it.
Exactly,
we are traumatized, Jake, and we are sick of it.
All right, so you guys have heard me many times talk about that, and when I heard that clip, I was like, that is absolutely spot on.
Yes.
Okay? I mean, it's this constant, and you hear this all the time from Democrats, from white liberals, this constant attempt to carve themselves out and put everything onto Trump. Yes, he's the president. Yes, he's... We got all that. Okay? But this is... It's really what they're saying is, when he gets out of office, we're just going to go back to the status quo, right? Which is still racism. It's still the same nonsense,
right?
And the Confederate statues was a great example that I've mentioned before, because I've said we've been trying to get those statues out of here for over a century. We've been complaining about those for a long time, okay? And they didn't have anything to say, all right? But when it became a political tool, when it became Charlottesville and Trump and 45 and all that, then it's like, yeah, we got to get rid of these Confederate statues and Nancy Pelosi, who's been in Congress for, 100 years? She's like, I've been walking, she's been walking by the same bus of the same, Confederate presidents or representative, whoever they were, generals, whomever, in the Capitol rotunda or whatever. She been walking past them all those decades that she's been in Congress, and all of a sudden then it was like, oh, you know, we have to get rid of this. Okay, fine, let's, and people were like, well, you know, you got to kind of take it where you get it. You know, you got to kind of, you know, if they're going to be, you know, for it now, then we got to jump on. That's dangerous, okay, because when he's out of office, then are they going to be there for you? You can't count on people only being there for you if it's in their interest only. Okay? You need to at least understand what you're dealing with. And right. Don't give them credit as if mm-hmm. it's because it's the right thing to do, or it's because it's coming from the heart, or because I just realized it. We've been trying to get those things out of there for a long time, and they didn't have anything to say until it was in their interest. And one other clip I want to play with regards to this issue here on WMNF 88.5. You're listening to Kaya Wright in the Fourth Estate, where our topic today is Not My President, in honor of President's Day, which is celebrated on tomorrow. And we're going to be talking about a bunch of our presidents and things that they've done, etc. But another issue that came up with regards to, again, the blackface was Cory Booker. He's in Iowa, right? All the candidates who have declared are going to the primary states, making their case to the people. And Cory Booker makes this comment.
So how do we get to a point where we can start having the conversation without people falling into a defensive crouch? Because sometimes when folk want to tell the truth about something, they fear speaking the truth or talking to people about what they don't understand. I've had conversations with white friends of mine this week who just had this safety that come to me and ask me, I don't understand this blackface thing. Can you explain it to me? Imagine in this climate now saying that publicly. Imagine, put yourself, want to have more courageous empathy, put yourself in a white person's position who might have questions. Look, I grew up in high school in the 80s, man, and it was a homophobic environment. I got to college and I started working as a volunteer. I eventually ran the organization. It's an organization called The Bridge at Stanford. It's a crisis hotline. Anybody can call in with any problem. We have suicide calls, sexual assault calls. But I'm a young kid and I didn't know these issues. I start getting these calls from people who are struggling with coming out.
Okay, so two things. Number one, no. We are not going to put ourselves in white people's shoes about blackface. Okay? This is not 1910. This is not 1845 or something. Okay? White people have the internet. Okay? Put yourself in this shoe. Is he crazy? That makes zero sense. If you look at the video, even the white man on the stage was looking at him like, N-word what? You know? Like, what are you talking about? You know, put yourselves in their shoes. What is this? So I, as the victim of racism, gotta put myself in the shoe. This is clear pen. This is he was in Des Moines, Iowa. Population 1.7% black, okay? So this is clear pandering, all right? But it's insulting, all right? It's not our responsibility to put on blackface.
Right.
You know, this is not, you know, how do you wear dreadlocks or something? Which, again, there's still the internet.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay.
It's what is it called? DIY?
Yeah.
You know, do it yourself. But as far as if I put myself in their shoes, I'm just putting myself in a place of ignorance. You know, I almost don't even want to give them that. I think it's that intentional, you know, and deceptive. I think it's just a clear lie. How can you not understand?
But there's a lot of them out there who don't understand what blackface, how we feel about it, what it represents. They don't understand why we are still angry as far as racism. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff that they still don't get.
Yeah, I think they do get it. I think it's either deliberate ignorance.
Okay.
You know, because again, there are millions of resources available,
right?
And you don't understand that. No, you know why. It's like that Jane Elliott video I played, you know, where they're asked to stand up mm-hmm. if they would like to be in the same place as a black person, and none of them stood up. And she's like, oh, why are you not standing up? If it's no big deal, you know? And she's like, you're not standing up because you know that we are mistreated. Mm-hmm. And you don't want the same for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's maybe something that's not talked about, but it is very well understood.
Very well.
Is that silent understanding is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you're not even all that silent. There was one of the current events I took out was there was a white woman who was, she was arrested by a black cop. And for something she done, whatever. And she's going on about, you know, you done effed up now because you have a white girl, you know, and I'm going to send the KKK. Why is she making these particular statements? Okay, she's stopped by the cop, but she's deliberate. She knows her privilege. You effed up now. You have a white girl, you know, and if I was going to go over it, I would have had that clip for you. But he clearly knows that's what all the calling the cops on the black people are about. Right. It's not because they don't know, you know, but they want to try to feign ignorance so they can put their feet up and then we can waste all our time that's diverted from focusing on our issues and how we can improve our community, et cetera, empower our community, and hold their hand like at 20% of the population, they haven't globalized the whole world. These are not people who don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. It's gaslighting. Right. It's gaslighting. And it's completely insulting. And for Cory Booker to open his mouth to talk about, well, put yourself in their shoes. No, ma'am. No, ma'am, as my mom says all the time. So, I mean, it's just crazy. It's just crazy. So, it looks like it's almost time for us to go to break. But when we come back, okay, I want to talk... This national emergency declaration by Donald J. Trump, okay? And it, you know, it, we're going to get into some other national emergencies, et cetera, and talk this through because this is pretty big news. So I wanted to touch on this with you guys and go over it. But first, one time I talked about wanting to play Master Teacher by Eric Badu, right? But the first part of the song, there actually is kind of two parts of the song. The first part of the song has a whole bunch of N-word in there, and it's just too much to edit out, and I couldn't find a clean version. But there is the second part of the song that somebody just recorded. And I love the song because, I mean, it's a great song. I love Erykah Badu. She's not quite canceled yet, given some of her recent comments about R. Kelly, et cetera. But woke... Right, the word I spoke about, you know, woke being woke and how that's an important word in the conscious community that's been overtaken, okay? And I don't like what I've heard about it, quite frankly, and how it's being used and misused. But this is the song that brought it to prominence. So this is Neo Soul Queen, so she's not underground, but she's still Neo Soul. And so I wanted to play it because I found a nice version of the second side and a second part of the song that's really awesome. Stay Woke, Master Teacher. Okay, so this is, again, how this kind of got into the mainstream, not overtaking my white people until recently, but this is back, I think, late 90s, early 2000s with Master Teacher. Facebook Live, great to see you guys. I come over there and look at the comments, and Lo hooked it up over there. So, you know, we had to do what we had to do. Gotta do what we gotta do, so make sure you guys can hear us. But let's listen to Master Teacher by Erykah Badu.
I stay woke.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Baby, sleeping time, put her down now. I'll be standing round till the sun down. I stay woke. I stay woke. I stay woke. I stay woke. Congregation nod their head and say amen. The deacon fell asleep. I stay woke.
So many of you donated during WMNF's Winter Pledge Drive, and we thank you. It's not too late to give. Please call 813-238-8001 weekdays. Us in the studio at 813-239-9663 or give online at WMNF.org. And thanks.
Go. Hi, I'm Lee, and I'll be hosting the first Pinellas County edition of the WMNF Road Trip on Wednesday, February 20th from 6 to 10 p.m. at the Queen's Head in St. Petersburg. I'm looking forward to spinning some great tunes and meeting you as WMNF continues its road trip around the Tampa Bay area. We're going to get our motor running and head out on the highway to the Queen's Head in St. Pete on February 20th. Go to WMNF.org for more information.
Support for WMNF comes from our members and Goodwill. The annual book drive for Goodwill's childhood literacy program, Bookworks, is now underway. Donations of children's books labeled for Bookworks will be accepted at any Goodwill store or donation site through March 15th. Goodwill will make sure that they are given to children who may not otherwise have books of their own. More at goodwill-suncoast.org.
We're good. We're good. We'll do it on the next one. We got another break we'll get to. All right. So welcome back to WMNF 88.5 with Kaya Wright in the Fourth Estate. You are listening to the Sunday Forum. And our topic today is Not My President, again, in honor of President's Day. And we are going to be going over a little bit later in the show some of our presidents, our past presidents, our founding fathers in particular, and also some things that you might not know. Okay, yeah, I always try to bring information that might be little known when it comes to individuals. So, you know, give you something that you can't get anywhere else on the Sunday Forum, where you get that real. And on Facebook Live, you know, after I do a commercial, we try to read comments. You guys might not have heard me because of not taking out the little cord on the end, but I'll come back and do another one. So I love you guys. It's all good. So David Bryant said, it was great to meet Kaya last week and at the station. Also, mad props to Lowe. In terms of the current guy occupying the White House, I'm convinced that he's working on selling us all a timeshare to the new Trump Lake of Fire resort. Trump says, the finest brimstone, believe me, the Lake of Fire is always hot. That I can tell you. You know, the man, he always speaks in superlatives. Everything is like the greatest. It's never been done before. This, you know, it's ridiculous, okay? And most of the time, it's not even accurate. But in any event, and we had Nerman Erkan. Thank you for sharing. We had Ersman Sunny. So, hey, you guys like, share the page. Again, tell everyone what we're doing here. So great to see you again, Facebook Live. Even though I had to squat, I'm already short. But it's all good.
Get your exercise in.
Yeah, morning. You know, got to do it. Got to do it. So I wanted to talk briefly another current event. And I actually started going over all the current events we're going to talk about. So we started off with Northam and kind of the continuing fallout from that and played a couple of clips. We're going to talk the National Emergency Declaration, and we're going to talk Kaepernick and what's happened recently with him, and also the colorblind comment from Howard Schultz. So that's what we're going to, and Lakeland. And we have a local story I want to read you or tell you guys about when it comes to craziness going on in this country. So the National Emergency Declaration. Now, so Friday, President Trump, okay, so he signs the bill, right? They've been trying to work on it about the border wall. And he also declares a national emergency. And there was a lot of kind of freaking out about this that was really unnecessary, okay? Number one, he was right that there have been several national emergency declarations before, okay? And let me say this, and people are like, well, there haven't been, you know, any like this. I looked at all 60 of the previous declarations, okay? And a lot of them were nonsense. All right. They weren't national emergencies. Now, some were, for example, after 9/11, at the Iran hostage, you know, crisis, after Katrina, you know, OK, things like that. OK, I got it. Right. That makes sense. Those are national emergencies. But you had things like you had a lot of prohibiting trade or messing with the property like we're seeing going on right now in Venezuela.
with a bunch of different countries, right? Libya, Panama, Haiti, Serbia, etc. Okay? Not national emergencies. Mm-hmm. Okay? Also, there was one about diamonds, about importing diamonds from Sierra Leone. How is this a national emergency? Okay, but it was declared. Okay, and we didn't have any lawsuits and oh my God, and hair on fire. You know what I'm saying? So it's again with the hypocrisy.
Right.
I don't believe that a national emergency is necessary, declaration is necessary, but I wouldn't have either for this. And it's interesting. So there was one prohibiting trade with or blocking property from South Africa, which, you know, you understand, right? Mm-hmm. But you also have the Senate Bill 1 that just passed that protects states that punish people who boycott Israel, which is crazy. Okay, so that bill just passed in the Senate, Senate Bill 1. It's not going to survive the House, I don't think. Okay, but the point is, so that was okay, right, to lock up the property of South Africa during apartheid, all right? But then it's not okay to boycott, you know, Israel or whatever. And not only that, because the case came to my attention, or this bill came to my attention, there was a sign language teacher in Texas, and she worked for the state, and this is for state governments that don't have to do business with you. The state told her, well, in order for us to re-sign your contract or renew your contract, you have to promise that you're not involved in a boycotting of Israel. She was like, well, what does that have to do with my job? That has nothing to do with my job. What I do on my personal time or who I'm boycotting, like, you know, this is, no. And she refused to sign, and they fired her. And she sued. Okay, so that's making its way through the court, but already in Kansas, they've lost because it's a clear First Amendment violation. This is I don't care what this federal bill says, trying to protect the states, that's going to be struck down, and these state statutes, which I looked up a bunch of them, Florida has one, I think it's like 22 states, it's crazy. Like, this is a clear First Amendment violation, it's going to be struck down. It's already been struck down in the lower court, which is not the final thing. I always tell us about, you know, not jumping for joy at lower court decisions, but this is easy. This is easy. I mean, how are you going to prevent me from working over something that has nothing to do with you? And it's not something that's generally considered like you're not in a Klan or something, you know?
You know, rightfully, some time ago, people decided to boycott, I think it was North Carolina, over the over homosexual bill or something. And
the bathroom.
Yeah, rightfully, I think they were boycotted. I didn't see a bill coming up declaring a national emergency over that. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's totally crazy. And I didn't agree with the North Carolina, the you know, the homosexuality part, you know, obviously. But I did actually agree with the other part about males being in female bathrooms. So, but that's a separate issue. But the point is, you're right. There wasn't a separate declaration. So I find this very interesting. This faux outrage over this national emergency, which again, I agree, isn't a national emergency. Okay. We're not being invaded, okay? And we all know my views again on illegal immigration. I don't support it at all. But it's ridiculous. It's hyperbole to say, oh, we're being invaded from the south. We're not being invaded from the south.
It's interesting how the position is taken over Central American refugees, but totally opposite the attitude towards Venezuelan refugees, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm in favor of the present government, but I see that the people that leave Venezuela are pretty much the same people that are leaving the Central American countries. They leave for the same reasons. Mm-hmm. There is a need within the country that requires them to leave. Mm-hmm. You know, and then some of them we want to worry about their humanitarian needs and the government is putting out monies to different Colombian government to Ecuadorian government, to
Venezuelan
the Peruvian government,
aid.
Venezuelan aid, millions of dollars to the different countries to support these refugees, and I think it's rightfully so. You know, you support them. The United States makes enough money out of these countries that giving some peanuts back is no big deal. But how do they turn as enemies these same poor people that come to the doors of the United States, you know?
Right.
Being that it was the United States in the first place that is causing that thing. Mm-hmm. Is the drain of the resources that the United States has, mm-hmm, as an empire over their land, over their people, that is causing the exodus, you know? In Central America as in Venezuela, you know? But to some, they turn as friends, and to other ones, They turn us enemies.
Well, a lot of times it's political, but again, you know, the rules exist. So we already know they're going to be political with what they do, but that's not going to justify an illegal entry into the country. Now, obviously, there are rules where people can't, refugee rules, asylum rules, etc. So we apply those, and that's fine. But they
when you send soldiers to one case, you send soldiers, and to the other ones, you send money, and you want to invade the country and create a war.
Right? You want to support a coup or whatever. But again, yes, there's a political thing, but that doesn't mean that you don't separate the baby from the bathwater and say, okay, well, you know, you have to address the issues.
I think it's a lot more complex, and I think we need to dedicate time to that, because the United States does not respect other people's boundaries. It doesn't respect their politics. It doesn't respect anything.
It sure doesn't.
So you want to respect others. You know, you want your respect for you. You got to respect others.
Exactly. You know? And when others push back when you come into their boundaries, then you should expect for them to push back. And so when people come and violate our boundaries, then they should expect to be pushed back. So it's going to work both ways. When we violate people's boundaries, which we do, we can't get mad when they're like, ho. You need to take yourself and your army and your whomever, and you need to get out. We're not like, well, you know, okay, they're right. Okay, get out. All right, and then there's a war, and you know, we have a mess. So, you know, we all know that those are things that happen. So we're not gonna pretend that those things don't happen. But again, you know, there's still things that need to be done. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're not gonna pretend that it just goes one way or it's not good. We all know about the hypocrisy. We talk about that all the time here. You know, plenty of that to go around. So it's not a national emergency, and I think that's ridiculous, but again, the hypocrisy, we're not having a problem with many other things declared national emergency, that we're not, okay, that we're not. So, again, give us a call, 813-238, usually, yeah. I'm going to do the other one, right? 813-239-9663, 813-239-9663, with all the announcements, I forgot to put out the phone number, what am I thinking? 813-239-9663, want to hear from you guys, 813-239-9663, and it's interesting where he's getting the money, right? So $600 million from the Treasury, Drug Forfeiture Fund, $2.5 billion from counter-drug activities with the Department of Defense, and $3.6 from MILCON, Military Construction. So it's going to be interesting when they're trying to justify the DOD budget, right? You know, when they just feel like they're going to just, you know, take this money. But here's another thing I'm going to predict. I'm going to predict that he's going to prevail in court. Okay, he's going to lose at the lower levels. Okay, but this is authorized. So for all the gnashing of teeth and we're going to sue and all that, okay, fine. Okay, but he's going to win. All right, and I'm 3-0 so far. So we'll see what happens with this. But if it gets up to SCOTUS, I think they're going to uphold his declaration. And people are like, well, didn't he say that he didn't really have to do it? Okay, yeah, we had the same thing with the travel ban, right? Well, didn't he say during the campaign that he was, okay, yeah, he did. All right, but, you know, does he have this authority or not? Yes, he does, done and done. When the diamonds from Sierra Leone, did you bring a suit about that? Oh, no. Okay, so very, very interesting there, the kind of picking and choosing.
So Kaya.
Yes.
What do you think some of his interests are? You know, as far as I'm thinking, like, what's in it for him? The Whiffen effect. What's in it for me? So what's in it for the president? Is it that he
You mean the declaration?
Well, what he's trying to do with this border ball as far as raising the money and using the money for that. I just feel like it's something else that's in it for him business-wise.
I think it's a campaign promise. I think it's because he's been getting a lot of pushback on having signed this bill, on having caved, okay, on the government shutdown. So I think it's pure campaign promise. You know, election's coming up, right? And he's going to have to be able to say, and remember, he was getting pilloried for the government shutdown and backing off of the border wall issue. So I think that's what it's about. Because they had control of the Congress for 2 years.
Right.
They could have done it then. Exactly. But they didn't. Right? They started and then they stopped and whatever. So I think it's clear campaigning 2020 nonsense. I don't think it's like really, because the border crossings have actually been kind of lower in you know, compared to other years. I mean, there are other issues. I mean, still drugs coming through and other things like that. Yeah. But as far as if you want to look at the data, it doesn't justify what you would think of as a national emergency. Mm-hmm. Yes, there are issues, but it's not a national emergency. But again, we've had plenty of other non-national emergencies. So. So
I agree with you about the campaign, but I just want to add in there in regards to this is a businessman. This is a businessman that does not want us to see his tax returns. And I think this is a businessman where we'll see that he has some other interests business-wise when it comes to military construction. Not even military construction, but who are those deals going to? Mm-hmm. What shell companies, air quotes, what companies, you know, are those contracts going to go to?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised to see him behind that.
I think there's some other, I mean, you know, the Attorney General of New York is looking into some of his, you know, other kind of deals. So I think there are plenty of places where he could do that, where I think that he might be doing that. I don't know. I mean, we don't know. But I guess we'll find out soon. But for this, I know that, you know, that's definitely, even though he hasn't been talking about that, I think that is an ulterior motive. Yeah. So, you know, so I guess we'll see. But, you know, you want to declare a national emergency? I don't think so. And so I want to talk about a local story here. So Polk County, there's an 11-year-old who refused to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, okay? And he said he didn't stand because he thinks the flag is racist. He thinks the anthem is racist against black people. And you know, that we're not protected. And he's right. And so, you know, good on him and good on his parents, mm-hmm. you know, for raising this young man. But the substitute teacher, Anna Alvarez, you know, whenever somebody messes up, I like to make sure I get their name in there. She was like, you got to stand up. You better stand, et cetera, et cetera. And she was like, no. So there's a commotion. Somebody calls the cops on an 11-year-old for not standing for the Pledge of Allegiance in a public school. Okay, private school, you can make those rules, but not in a public school. Okay, you cannot make those kinds of rules. There are limits you can put, but not that one. And for anyone who is ever interested, the case that establishes this is from 1943, called West Virginia State Board of Education versus Barnett. Okay, so if there's a public school and there's someone trying to make someone salute the flag, which is what actually happened in that case with Jehovah's Witnesses, salute the flag, Pledge of Allegiance, say the national anthem, stand up, whatever. Any kind of thing like that, if they're not being disruptive, it can't be done. It's illegal, okay? And so, you know, some people are like, well, you got to get permission from the parents or whatever. That case is what you need to go on. It's a Supreme Court case. And so whenever I see these public schools doing it, I'm like, it's not going to stand. And sure enough, the superintendent or somebody called the legal counselor or something. And they backed right off of that. But an 11-year-old, right. look how you're starting off this little boy's life.
Yeah.
Why does that go to the extreme of calling the police? Usually someone gets sent to the principal office.
Yeah.
Where's the principal? What was on lunch? So you're just going to go and call the police from your phone? Yeah. You know, why
those
take that
type
step?
Of teachers are not, you know, should not be in school. You
no.
know, should not be going to... You know, should not be attending to children. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's completely ridiculous. 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663. And the last item, well, actually two things. So before we get to Kaepernick, because there's a whole lot going on with that. So we had Howard Schultz. He's another candidate, and Democrats are mad because he's going to run as an independent or something, he said. So I think he's going to take away votes, and it's going to be another mess. So he had a town hall. Why does this man get a town hall? I don't get it. But anyway, he got a town hall. I don't know if it's the money.
He has money. Yeah, former CEO, if I'm not mistaken.
Starbucks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Billionaire.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yes, big money. And so he was having this town hall, and he was asked a question about what happened at Starbucks. I guess it was several months ago, but and with the arrest of the two brothers in Philadelphia. And so this was his response, a part of his response.
We have to be able to have uncomfortable conversations. We have to talk to people who are different than ourselves. We have to embrace the diversity of the nation.